Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, the epistle lesson especially, verses 9 and 10. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. So we come to Ascension Day, and very basic reason why we do Ascension Day is because we are reciting the story of Jesus. We're reciting the life of Jesus. From beginning to end, this is his life for us, blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And when Jesus ascends up into heaven, this is a part of the story. It is a part of the blessing. And so we must. Ascension Day has been called a forgotten festival. Or you could also say it's a hidden festival. Because as the disciples watch Jesus rise up, do the disciples, this is a little riddle, do the disciples actually see Jesus enter into heaven? Well, considering that heaven is invisible, the answer would be no. That's why they had to have two angels appear to them and explain to them what was going on. And as the angels explain to them, they say, this Jesus whom you've seen go into heaven in this way, he will return in the same way. So the whole thing is a matter of looking forward to the coming of Jesus, coming in his glory, coming with his reward, coming to bring his kingdom, coming to transform us so that we also may live with him forever in glory. The ascension is, then also, it is a promise for our future. It's a promise because Jesus, going into heaven, is not going to leave us alone, not going to abandon us. He is not done with us. The task that was begun in his resurrection on Easter morning continues on. The resurrection has to spread until it has spread to all of his people. And part of the resurrection, you remember, is that Jesus appeared in his glory to his disciples. And so they were amazed at Jesus risen from the dead, but Jesus also glorious in his resurrection. It's a promise for us. How exactly does that work? Let's go back way back into Genesis chapter 3 once again. Genesis chapter 3, and the Lord God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Why? To spend time with Adam and Eve, and you've heard this. Because the relationship of he is their God and they are his people, but then again also, the relationship of he is calling them friends was there. And Adam and Eve had wandered off from God. They'd eaten the forbidden fruit. They were hiding behind the bushes. They were concealing themselves from God. They had broken the relationship. And what they had lost there was not only living in righteousness and living without having to die, but also they had lost every bit of their relationship with God. And God begins at that point to work at restoring them. He promises a Savior would come, the seed of the woman who would crush the head of the devil, the seed of the woman who would be wounded in the battle, the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman who would be God himself coming into our world. And all of this starts to get underway, rolling along. The promise is said again and again and again and again until it happens, and the virgin conceives and bears a son, And she calls his name, well, she calls his name Jesus, as the angel directed. And John the Apostle looks and says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Yeah. And so, the beginning of the ascension is the descending. Jesus coming into our world to be one of us. Because it isn't enough. It isn't enough for him to simply forgive the sins and transfer us up to where we can live in heaven with him. That's not enough. He's going to restore the relationship. He's going to make us once again his own and his friends. And even that is not enough. In his being born, he becomes one of us, shares our nature, and does amazing things with that nature. The hands of Jesus, well, they reach out and they touch the leper, and the leper is cured. And Jesus lays his hands on the sick, or he calls out to Lazarus, and Lazarus must rise. Or he takes the young girl by the hand, Talitha kumi, little girl, arise, and she must rise. And all of this, his hands, his feet, his voice, Jesus our brother doing all of this in our human flesh. And that's not enough. With that flesh, he then goes to the cross. So that in that flesh, he can share our death. He can share our sin. He can share our judgment. Once again, this is Jesus, who is our brother in every sense of the word, who is coming to be one of us. Because he wants us to be with him. He came to my world that I might come to his. He stooped down to raise me up. He took my nature in order to transform that nature. This is part of what the ascension is all about. The human nature, the human body of Jesus ascending into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. And where is the right hand of God? Our catechism gives an answer. Where is God's right hand? It is everywhere where God exercises his power. Where is our brother Jesus? Why, he's with us here. And he is at another church where Pastor Phil Grunbaum this evening is preaching an Ascension Day's sermon. He had to come and retrieve his alb that he had left here. And head off east. And the Lord Jesus, our human brother, hands and feet and eyes and ears and everything else, is there among those people. So he has glorified, so he has transformed his human body, that it is capable of all of the glory and all of the power and all of the might and all of the ability of the divine nature. We will read later on in our Athanasian Creed, although he is God and man, he is not two but one Christ, one, however, not by conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God. He takes that human nature and he pulls it into God. And what an amazing glory to have given to our human nature. That my brother is now ruling in heaven. My brother is God Almighty. My brother holds the stars together, spins the planets. My brother sustains all life on earth and the very matter of the universe, my human brother. He does that. And as wild as that may sound, because I got three other brothers, but this one, this Jesus, he has taken this human nature and raised it to the highest place. What was that Paul said? Ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. That's what he does. The Ascension Day celebration, then, is a celebration that this is his plan, that we should share the glory that he brings. To be his brothers and sisters, to live with him forever, to be his dear friends and blood relatives of God, to be able to reach out and with our fingers to touch God. We're going to push a little bit on this just for a few minutes. I want to tell you something that takes a while to sift through. That is a saying that I learned in seminary, that in Jesus all the rules are broken. Sounds wild, doesn't it? Well, that's true. Can God die? Absolutely not. But in Jesus, God hung on the cross and bowed his head and died. Can a human being be everywhere in the universe? No, absolutely not, except in Jesus. And this human flesh of Jesus fills all things, is with us everywhere we go. How about this one? You should pray only to God, and you should not pray to a human being. Except for this one human being by the name of Jesus. Because as our human brother, he is there for us and to hear our prayers and to answer our prayers. And it's an absolutely amazing thing when you start sorting through all of this and saying, yes, in Jesus, the rules are broken because he crosses over the boundaries. He brings things back together. He breaks through the walls of separation. God now lives among us. God is a human being in Jesus Christ. And why? Again, because it was not enough for God to say, oh, I'll simply repair the creation and I will take human beings and I will reconcile them so that they can live and they can do what they're supposed to do as my servants forever and ever. No. He wanted to bring himself to us and us to him. And the Ascension Day is part of this bringing together of God and man, and it happens in Jesus Christ. There's a whole lot more, but we're going to have to leave that for another year. And we went through that somewhat in the elders' meeting on Tuesday. So Dick, he knows there's a lot more. So we'll have to do this again, but let's wrap this up and say, in Jesus Christ, the reconciliation, but not simply patching together, a reconciliation the likes of which you could have never imagined happens in Jesus Christ. In his name, amen.